Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome. You have entered the realm of 1111 Talk Radio. Your host is Simran. It's time to discover your own language with the universe. Empower yourself, broaden your mind, open your heart, and discover who you are. Now, here's your host, Simran.
Welcome to a beautiful March day. I hope that you have been basking since the new moon this past Sunday. I have felt quite a bit of change in the energy as far as who we are supposed to be in the world as we move forward. In your time over the weekend, whether you were busy or whether you actually took the time to sit with the new moon and reflect on the energies that were coming up for you, we can use today to do the same thing. It's a powerful, energetic day since then, and the energies that are unfolding are all calling us higher. They are asking us to be more. And most importantly, they are inviting us to a return to the truth of who we are. That can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. For some, the truth of who they are is ventured upon from the lens of the mind or the ego. And we have to be really careful about this as we walk forward, because we must understand that the mind and the ego are the conditioned parts of us. They are the parts of us that have picked up on what the world is thinking. We are all empathic. We all feel everything that's going on. But as children, many of us dampened that empathic resonance out of safety, out of trying to protect ourselves. And in doing so, we started to become conditioned to those around us. We started to take on the beliefs, the feelings, the lenses that they held. And from that place, we abandoned ourselves, or we abandoned the truth of who we were. We abandoned original innocence and the ability to tap into our intuition, our resonant connection with the divine. In that time, we created a sense of self-betrayal, not knowingly, but out of a desire to feel safe, to protect ourselves, and in a way, to explore this world. We all decided to go undercover. And in going undercover, we started to play in this virtual reality, almost like a game, to try to find our way back out. And this particular new moon, as we shift from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius, we are being asked to shed those costumes, to let go of that cape that we went under cover with, to let go of the cloak of invisibility that we donned, and allow ourselves to stand in the full light of who we are. Now, how do we get back there in a world that is so wrought in shadow consciousness at this time? You can look at just about any arena in the world, and you can see this shadow nature emerging. Yes, there is greed, there is corruption, there are hidden agendas. There's a lot of chaos, and there's a lot seemingly to fear. But in truth, all of these things are invitations. Now, you know I talk a lot about conversations with the universe, and how the world speaks to us. Well, we are being given a plethora of conversations right now. And all of these conversations are not asking you to go outside. They're not asking you to go and try to fix anything, although that is what the mind would have you believe. They're asking you to pause, to take a moment to really understand and listen to what is happening in the world, what these conversations are really trying to express to you about you. In this particular moment, I think we live in a world that oftentimes it's hard to pause, partially because that's not the norm. That's not what we've been taught. And it would seem kind of crazy or out of touch to pause, right? But is it? You see, part of our running around, part of our activity is interfering with everything that's going on. Even if you're in a state of numbness or trying to ignore what's happening, that's still an active state of interference. But when we pause, when we become present to what's really here, we start to get into the subtleties of listening. We begin to recognize what feels resonant and what feels discordant. You know, if you listen to music and you hear a lot of different songs put together, and you've listened for a long time, there are certain songs that are going to feel like harmony. They're going to relax your body. They're going to have you sit back or move gently with that rhythm. And then there are other songs that might come on that actually grate at your senses, that give you a headache, that make you want to go and change the music. And right now we've gotten so accustomed and so comfortable with the grating that we've forgotten perhaps what it means to truly be in harmony. And that's a wonderful place to be, because only when we get pushed to the limit of the noise, when it gets so loud and so noisy, and gives us such a headache, do we actually decide to shut it off or to change the tune? And right now, I think we are reaching that point where we're invited to change the tune. If you really listen to what's going on in the world, and you listen with your heart and your body instead of your mind, you'll realize there's a lot of conflict that is going on, that there's a lot of energy behind the communications that are being expressed in different places, maybe in your environment, in your workplace, on the news. You might feel the contrast, but you'll have to feel it and listen to it in terms of energy and tone of voice. You see, these are the two places that your body will be able to signal truth for you. If you listen to the words, you're going to get possibly caught up in a lot of gaslighting that does exist in the world today. And we experience gaslighting in a lot of different places. We certainly do hear it in politics. We hear it at times if you listen to medication ads. There's a bit of gaslighting that goes on there where they want to tell you about all the benefits and the beauty and the fun, and the imagery shows smiling faces and happy times. And yet at the very end, they give you the disclaimer where it tells you all the things that are going to go wrong. So you have to understand that we are being invited to a time where we really connect to our own intuition, that we stop long enough to understand that our body's intelligence is strong, But in order to get there, we have to shed the layers that built up around it. And the first step in that has a lot to do with respect. You see, if we look at the outside, if we listen to a lot of the noise that's out there and the language or the way that the world has changed, at least in my lifetime, we can hear a lot of disrespect. We can hear a lot of back and forth, blaming and shaming. And sometimes that level of respect that we have to initiate must begin with a set of boundaries. A set of boundaries that removes you from the people, places, and things that are causing some of the confusion, the gaslighting, the grating upon your own central nervous system. And that level of self-respect is going to assist you in making those boundaries a little firmer. Now, when I talk about boundaries, I'm not talking about keeping people out. I'm not talking about building a wall to blockade yourself in. When we set boundaries, these boundaries are for us. They're for each of us to know where we do not overstep. Because the boundary is something that keeps us in place. It helps us to understand where not to cross the line so that we betray ourselves or go unconscious or limit who we are because we have scattered the energy so vastly that there's no energy left for the self. I have found that self-betrayal is probably one of the most rampant and subtle experiences that every human being encounters. And sometimes we go through our whole lives betraying the self and not even realizing it. It can happen in a lot of ways, from little white lies to big ones, from people pleasing to going along with the crowd. Levels of self-betrayal end up leaking energy from within us. They remove our self-empowerment and our independence. And that's how we sink into the levels of codependence that then go along with the crowd or follow the energy where we think it is going, rather than where we feel it is. So take a moment right now and breathe in and out. And perhaps close your eyes and center into your heart. And ask yourself, when was the most recent time that I betrayed myself? And allow that image to come to mind so that you can connect to that place of self-betrayal. And once you connect into that, ask yourself how you betrayed yourself and to what degree. And continue to breathe in and out. And ask your heart to show you similar places in your life where the same self-betrayal has taken place. And if in this moment things are not coming up, I invite you to journal about this after the show is over. And if certain things have come up for you, settle into the feeling that that brings up. You may feel a little sadness around that. You may feel some shock. You may have an aha moment because you didn't even realize that was taking place. You see, that little momentary pause that we took just now that literally was a couple of minutes can be a life-changing moment for you. Because from this moment forward, there's a little seed inside that is going to keep tapping around self-betrayal and you not allowing yourself to betray yourself in that particular way. Or if you do, you will feel it in the moment that you do it. Our lack of listening to the outside is really only a mirror to our lack of listening to the self. And that lack of listening to the self has everything to do with a lack of trust that we have. The lack of trust that we forgot that we can have within ourselves. And that then leads to a false identity, one that has to mask and one that has to follow the crowd or keep talking and not listening. And so, as much as I talk about getting rid of all of our identities, there's one identity that we must reclaim. And that's our true divine identity. And that cannot happen without the resurgence of listening and the re-engagement of self-trust. You see, all corruption that is on the outside is simply a mirror to each and every one of us of the inner corruption that is taking place. And for some, that might be actual corruption that they are participating in their own lives. But for most of us, it is the corruption that is taking place in the mind. Whenever we have strayed from the purest of thoughts about ourselves, the most loving, the most compassionate and kind, whenever we have ventured from the true identity that we are having corrupt ideas. That literally is like a virus in the mind, in our computer board. And that creates division. That creates an inner division. And that inner division within us is the conflict that we are seeing mirroring outside of us in so many places, in so many ways. And I know that our humanness, our goodness, our service-oriented part wants to go and correct the conflict we see outside. But I am a strong advocate for sacred activism, which I believe to be the ability for every single person to be powerful enough to be the change in the world that we change the world. But for that to happen, every single one of us has to do our inner work. We must be willing to dive deep inside and really have a good look at who we are, who we are being, who we have been, and resting in the imaginings of who we desire to become, to return to. There is a naturalness inside of you, one that was born of love and peace and balance. It is a naturalness that very easily connects to a genius that you possess, that you were born and endowed with, a genius that you were here, you were brought here to bring to this planet. And that genius is only going to be found in the return to self. A lot of people don't realize that most of our careers and the things that we dive into as our causes or our needs of things to change out there are really stemming from our childhood wound, the original place that we became hurt, or the places that echoed where we continued to be hurt. And so unknowingly, we tend to end up in career paths or relationships or social organizations and causes that really are just an expanding ripple from that original wound. It's a way to go save something out there when really it's a cry to save the self, to return to the self, and to resolve that original wound that was never true to begin with. And that can be a journey in and of itself, because we each are the journey. We each are here to understand the beauty of our humanity and the regality and majesty of our divinity. And they are as intertwined as our DNA. They are literally corded within our DNA. But if we look at the world right now, at least I have to question, where is humanity? Because it certainly doesn't look like humanity is expressing externally right now. It is expressing in its most dense and dark nature, in its most shadow consciousness. But is humanity really expressing? That's so much of the reason that I felt the need to create the trilogy of oracles, Living, Being, and Knowing. Because that is a quicker, more condensed, and pinpointed way for individuals to tap into the subtleties of their conscious, their unconscious, and their subconscious. Did you know that we really are only conscious 3 to 5% of the time? That might be shocking. You might argue with it. And if you're someone who is a self-proclaimed conscious person or spiritual person, you might vehemently argue against that. But I can tell you, even the most so-called conscious light worker is probably only conscious 3 to 5% of the time, maybe 7, at best 10. A large part of us is living in the subconscious. And unless we tend to ourselves and allow ourselves moments to meet those parts of ourselves, we don't realize that that 35% is creating a lot of the havoc in the world, both in our own and externally in the greater collective. And then beyond that 35% is another 50 to 60%. And that is the deep, deep unconscious. And that part really does create our world. That part is connected to a lot of the weather patterns that we have. It is the instigator of war and some of the terrible things that we see as a result of greed. It has a lot to do with our hierarchy and some of the false-based ideas when it comes to illusion and evolution that we have. So it was really important to share that information so that if you are very busy and not finding the time to deepen into the subconscious and the unconscious, that you understand that the Oracle on Living, the 7 Blessings of Human Experience, has everything to do with the subconscious. You will see that 3 to 5% that can be conscious, but you will understand where that subconscious is operating and how to rise out of it. And if you truly want to serve the world, then you'll dive into being the seven illusions that derail personal power, purpose, and peace. That book truly illustrates the deep, deep unconscious that we carry. It expresses the illusions that exist and how we allow those illusions to infiltrate our lives and get conditioned into following or believing the ideas around things like time and money, status, hierarchy, even the idea of war or identity. And within that sacred oracle is also the keys to lift up and open the doors to the unconscious to raise it into higher light. And then the third book, Knowing, the Seven Human Expressions of Grace, has everything to do with opening to your true humanity, allowing all of it, and tapping into the very visceral energies that are in your physiology. That's probably the deepest layer of your unconscious. It's what goes on in your body that is held, and how those rumblings of the body will enact impulses for you to take off running so that we remain in fight, flight, or freeze. But the beauty is we can rise up into a higher octave of our humanity. And when we do, that humanity becomes the doorway, the literal gateway toward our divinity. That humanity opens us to such levels of self-compassion, kindness, gentleness, and care that we are transformed. And in becoming transformed, and through transmuting the energies that have come through our bodies, we then become that divine force on the planet. And sometimes that can be just through how you be. Other times that will come through the inspired action that you are going to initiate. But everything will come from a different place and carry a different energy. We have to use our past and our patterns and our behaviors as a way to apply wisdom to the future. And I say that not just as individuals, but I say that as a collective body, whether you are a community or a country or the globe. We have a stark history that is filled with so much dark and light. And it's very easy to get caught up in story. We each do that in our own lives. I think story is the one thing that can oftentimes hold a person back for the longest time. It creates the greatest degrees of stuckness and suffering. And yet there are other stories once transcended that become these lighthouses of inspiration and motivation for others to leap out of where they are. So we must understand the distinction of how to use story and what to do with the stories that have been our history. I'm a firm believer that we must allow for the healing by fully feeling the things of the past. And that means taking it inside and feeling it for ourselves to the maximum ability until we can reach a place of neutrality around the issue or issues, whatever they are. And once we do, and those things do not hold any trigger for us any longer. Only then can we truly take an inspired action. And oftentimes it won't even be in the direction of that situation anymore. It will strive to cut an entirely new path. And that new path will be your genius. It will be the thing that you enjoy that brings fulfillment and flair. And your genius is something that will bubble up and be the healing inadvertently to something. It will be the solution, and it will come without trying, because it will be so natural that it is you and your presence to that activity that is actually the ripple. And that's a hard one for a lot of people to contemplate, because we are such a doing world. And so many think that if I don't go do something, then how's anything ever going to get done? If I don't go help and fix this, if I don't go take care of this, then what will happen? The sky will fall. But don't you see? That is how we've been conditioned, and that is how the ego has convinced us to maintain a state of control. I think that the biggest lesson that we are here to learn is the lesson of self-love. And I would say that the adjunct course to that is learning how to let go of control. I don't believe there is any end to the degrees of self-love that we can enact upon ourselves. I think the deeper that I have ventured into the area of self-love, I always find another pathway that needs more love. But it becomes more and more subtle. And as it does so, life opens up in a different way. Things are partaken of for different reasons. And so take a moment and really consider how much self-love you apply to your life, to your health care, to your relaxation, to your inner work, to your boundaries. To places where you have once self-betrayed that you say no more. And where do you need to let go of control? Where in your life do you have the hands gripped so tightly on the wheel that you can't let go? One indicator I have found in regard to control does have to do with tone of voice. It does have to do with triggers. And also the degree to which we push. I've thought a lot about birth lately. And when I think about a woman being pregnant and carrying a baby, it requires so much nurturance. Self-care, rest. There's so much activity going on in something that from the outside you don't really see the activity. But there's so much energy and activity taking place. And so many of our manifestations need to follow that example. I think we're really quick to move. And that's one of the places that we betray ourselves. And it's one of the places where we maintain a level of control. We have an idea to want to go do something. An impulse rises that we feel like we need to act on. And yet I believe that we're actually supposed to pause. it's necessary and important to allow the energy to build. When you want to go do something and you feel that push, if you go put something out in the world too quickly, it's premature. It will have a premature birth, or it may not even make it to birth. If it makes it to birth, it may not have legs strong enough to run. But if you hold back just a little and allow yourself to do what a woman does when a life is growing inside of her, and you dream and you imagine and you nurture yourself and you take care of yourself and you prepare and you nest and you hold it and you speak to it and you think about it, then all of a sudden you will feel that energy building, growing. You will pick up on so many other little nuances of what you like to do or how you see this out in the world. And when you give that beautiful creation that you are birthing, whether you are a man or a woman, when you give that beautiful creation the time, the presence, the love, and the nurturing that it needs, then when that moment comes that it is truly destined to birth, you will have a strong and healthy creation. And that creation will know when it's right to crawl and to walk and to run and to go out into the world and do exactly what it was supposed to do. I think we have a lot of premature birth happening. And I think the biggest thing that we can all do is pause. It seems radically opposite to creation, but I think it is the necessity for healthy creation. Our world right now seems like it's in flux, in a grand state of chaos, with a lot of people holding their breath. And this is a time to breathe and to dream a new world into being, to dream a new you into being, to allow yourself to nurture and to rest, to imagine, to feed yourself, to speak to yourself, to hold yourself. And the idea of the new world in its highest expression, not in what you see. It doesn't help to hold the images that you see, but it would help to hold images of a higher expression of what you see. And to feel whatever you need to feel as you go through that. Because there's a lot out there that is heartbreaking and raging, maddening. There's a lot out there that can easily bring every one of us to our knees in prayer or tears. But unless we're willing to feel it, we can't get there. And if we were to get there, we would all be locked arm in arm, creating a wave on this planet that releases so much pent-up energy. The truth is that the sacred texts talk about annihilation, and annihilation is coming. But we have a choice right now where we can determine what kind of annihilation that is. And it doesn't have to be the annihilation of the world. I think all of these situations that we see outside of us are actually inviting us into the annihilation of the false self and the return to true identity. They're inviting us to remove the conformity, to let go of the control, and to reclaim our innocence, our respect, our reverence, our beauty, our transcendence. And that transcendence isn't us leaving the world. It's being in the world, but not of it. It's being the change by being the change. Can you imagine a world where all people are living happily, where we are all united, where there's a rebirth and a coming together, where our youth are tapping into their genius, where people are living in wellness, and individuals are communicating so that peace exists. Is that altruistic? Am I painting dreams of utopia? I think we have to ask ourselves what's possible. We have stopped asking ourselves what's possible. And we've gotten caught up in what we think we see. When what we think we see is really filters from the past, through clouded lenses of our childhoods and the projections that we are placing outward to just simply get us to go inward. I love the signs that appear, no matter what they are. The conversations with the universe are the place and the way that I grounded into intuitive living. They supported me in really looking at the world and looking at myself from this interactive, interdependent way of knowing that I was not on a journey, that I am that journey. And that the world is speaking to me to show me more about me. And I invite you to do the same. Life exists all around you as an interactive playground. And this field of interconnectivity is experience. It's one that expands connection. It expands your communication. And it offers all kinds of guidance. You see, throughout your life, there have been all manner of prompts and signs. And they've been there whether you're aware of them or not. And they are the signs and symbols that appear closest to you, intimately with you, that are loudly speaking about you. And they are also the signs and symbols that express themselves as seemingly farther away from you, like global events, or people you don't know, but you happen to come across or find out about. These are all conversations with the universe. And during this grand time on our planet, signs are more and more prevalent. So what might it feel like to have your conversation with the universe? What would it mean to connect with life so deeply that you took everything you saw and you asked yourself one profound question? Where is that in me? Now, for the sake of serving our world, If you took the darkest, densest things that are appearing and asked, where is that in me? You will start to discover the deepest unconscious rivers that flow, because you are a composite of generations and lineages and time everlasting. And so if it's out there, it's in here. And that's the work we have to do. And on the flip side, you can also look at the beautiful mountain ranges and shimmering streams. You can look at the people that inspire you and gorgeous works of art and music. You can look at innocent children and sweet animals and just as easily ask, where is that in me? Because you're all of it. You're all of the dark and you're all of the light. And that is wholeness. That is wholeness. So it is time to reconnect to your greater self and the universal guidance that's available. You've got signs, symbols, and synchronicities that are appearing daily. You have mysticism and awe all around you. If you'll simply deepen into the presence of these magical encounters, you'll see that there is so much more to life than what you ever imagined. If you were to look at life in this more subtle and expanded way, then you will find a rich and beautiful personal growth path that can empower your authority, your inner authority, and heighten your co-creative partnership with the universe. You can realign with your mystical nature as you start to discern what's being mirrored back to you through each and every sacred encounter. It's time to start living intuitively, to step more into who you truly are, to ask the ego to step back, and to balance out your masculine and feminine energies, raising them from unhealthy masculine femininity to healthy masculine and feminine. That's the work we're each here to do. And it's powerful work. Truly beautiful and powerful work. And when you are the change in that manner, you really do light up. There's a chemical reaction that takes place in your body that starts to literally light up your cells, fire off synapses in the brain, emit a more powerful aura, and expand your energy in ways that then start to illuminate the people around you simply by your sheer example. It's time to open yourself up to magical living, to understand that you are far more than what you see. And so is everyone else. That this world is far greater than it's expressing as. And that the power of that change comes through you because you're that interconnected. We are all one. Whether people, places, or things, we are all one. And we are a human animal. And so we have the rumblings of animals. And as we embrace our human animal, as we ask our shadow to be held by us and not hide behind us, and as we invite our divine nature to step out in front and shine, we become the radiance and the light, and the beauty of a world that is in making right now. So there are three of you here. One that is living, one that is being, and one that is knowing. And it's time to get to know all three. So I invite you to get my new trilogy, to get all three of them, because they work together. The seven blessings correlate to the seven illusions, which correlate to the seven graces. And just open each one every day and read one short paragraph. And you will see yourself, feel yourself, and know yourself changing. I'd like to also invite you to a brand new course that I've created that I am so, so excited about. And it's called Intuitive Living. It's at iamsimran.com. And it is all about conversations with the universe, the signs, symbols, and synchronicities of life. I took a great deal of time, 9 months actually, talking about birth, to create this course and to share everything that I knew when it comes to really learning how to read your signs. Within the course, I offer you a lot of guidance, a lot of beautiful meditations, sign guides so that you can start to understand how your house is speaking to you and your car and your pets and your children and your body and life, and how you can begin to integrate this way of being into your everyday experience. Because the more you do this, the more you really understand how this works, all of a sudden you'll realize I don't need any teacher outside of me. I don't need any guru. I don't need to follow anyone. I just need to follow my instincts, my own intuition, and my body's intelligence. Because what I can promise you is that the world is speaking to you about you. So definitely check out my latest course, Intuitive Living, Signs, Symbols, and Synchronicity, The Language of Life. And soon to follow is an incredibly powerful course that I'm so very humbled to create. Spirit guided me to create 11 Steps from Humanity to Divinity. And it is literally like having a retreat. It is like being able to go on retreat in your home at any time and deepen into so much of what we've talked about here, but flowering into the most beautiful aspects of your humanity to such a level of inner authority and grounded confidence that you are able to move out into the world, expressing your human nature and your divine nature simultaneously, really allowing that DNA to be activated. So I am so grateful that you have spent this hour with me, that you've allowed me to meander through my heart and mind in many different places, to share what I was feeling as we all embark on the energies of New Earth after this powerful new moon. We've got quite a few eclipses coming up, which are going to initiate a lot of big changes, both in your life and in the life of the collective. As these changes occur, just remember, there's nothing to be afraid of. The divine lives within you, as the divine lives within all of us. And the more you will ground into your inner work and expand that radiance, the more everyone else will be able to as well. It's time to pull back the codependence of the world and step into our own independence of being. And as we do that, we create a world, a brand new world of interdependent living. We create a world of cooperation instead of competition. We create a world of humanity instead of indifference and apathy. We create a world of love instead of fear. So thank you for being with me. I hope you will pick up my trilogy partake of the courses because they are extraordinary, and that you will continue to be here with me each and every week as we venture into all kinds of places with all kinds of people. Until next week, I am Simran. In love, of love, with love, and as love. Be well.
Thank you for opening your mind to a new reality, your heart to greater compassion, and your experience of aliveness with 1111 Talk Radio.
Calling all authors. Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of DreamVision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to DreamVision7Radio.com.
This is DreamVision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.